right, why don't I just add a couple Laker listeners into this mix. Lamont Laguna Niguel, what's going on, Lamont?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. Thank you. So what was your thoughts on that trade, but more importantly, how it kind of ties with the Lakers?
The Lakers now have competition.
Mm-hmm. You're the first one to say that, by the way. Nobody else is saying that.
Yes. Now they have competition because it's not that KD and Kyrie and James Harden are all-stars. These are superstars. They are proven in the playoffs. They got warrior stripes on them from playing against the best in the world. And it's an offensive level that's beyond any defense that any team can put together. I mean, simple and plain. You talk about 7 games of dealing with Kevin Durant, 7 games of trying to stop James Harden, 7 games of trying to stop Kyrie Irving. What defense is going to hold up 7 games against that type of offensive level, which is way above the NBA norm? This is not a normal offense. This is 3 proven superstars that can throw up 30 against any defense. The Lakers added some dudes that people are raving about when they lost the big man. They lost their big man. They added Marc Gasol, whose career is over. But seriously, in the playoffs, he's going to be insignificant. Because he can't, there's no way he's going to go up against Kevin Durant.
All right, Lamont, I got to jump in here. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. You're the first one to actually talk about that trade can have a significant impact. By the way, I lean more towards that end. I lean towards the, I would have done that trade. I understand you could stockpile all these draft picks. I get all that. By the way, there are certain teams out there and franchises that have had picks for a long time. They've done nothing with them. There's plenty of GMs around the league that have had incredible opportunities to, you know, draft the right player, and they can't do it with 2 extra picks. And you can get as many picks as you want, but if you don't got the right scouting department and the right front office, I'm sorry. You might get fortunate and a good one falls on your lap, but there's also a lot of other times that teams don't know what to do with it. Okay, I want to get going here on some of these top NBA stories. So, a couple things that stand out here. Twitter blew up yesterday. Is it just me, or does NBA stories on Twitter just explode? I mean, just think about it. Compared to any other sport, James Harden gets traded. A couple other things going on yesterday as well. Much more important than sports. But Twitter is just going nuts. And is it just me, or every time there's NBA free agency, there's the NBA trade deadline, more than any other sport, God bless Major League Baseball, at least from a social media perspective, it is so much quieter than the NBA. God bless the NFL, so much quieter than the NBA. I just noticed that yesterday. I'm just sitting to myself. I'm like, I mean, every single time something goes down, the NBA is all over the sports world. Okay, so you guys obviously know my thoughts on Harden being traded to the Brooklyn Nets. I think it's the right thing to go all in. You know what? If the Houston Rockets wanted to go out there and, you know, obviously get as many draft picks as possible, that's fine. They also got Victor Oladipo. By the way, Bobby Marks coming up at 8:30. We'll get more into that conversation, talk Lakers basketball as well. Bobby Marks, by the way, he was part of the front office with the Brooklyn Nets back in the days. So he can give definitely a different perspective on this. So according to Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports, there was a report that Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta refused to send James Harden to the Sixers. Let me read this off from Chris Haynes, right? He was on a podcast. He said, after that, I was told that Tillman Fertitta, the Houston Rockets owner, he was just adamant that they not make a deal with Philly, obviously with Daryl Morey being the GM over there now. Let me say this, okay? Michael was saying this when we were training camp was starting, and James Harden had already made it public, hey, he wants to get traded. Brooklyn was trying to make a move. Philly was trying to make a move. I kept telling Michael, I was like, Michael, listen, I understand what you're saying. The guy doesn't want to be there. And if the guy doesn't want to be there, don't waste any time. Get rid of this dude as soon as possible. I completely get it. But I also sympathize with the Rockets saying they got 2 years, two more years on their contract with James Harden. They don't have to give him up right now. And everybody's saying, well, every day you're going to lose value if you know you don't get rid of him right now. As long as you got two teams that are going after him, you're going to eventually get what you think is the right deal or the best deal that you can get. So Ben Simmons was not part of the he was part of the deal that was talked about, but because Tillman Fertitta of the Houston Rockets, the owner of the Rockets, did not want to do a move with Daryl Morey, that deal didn't go down. Let me tell you something. Ben Simmons, I would take Ben Simmons over any of those picks that you have that are out there. I was telling Michael this, and this was a conversation we were having in the pregame show. If you can restart your franchise with Ben Simmons, you get this 23, 24-year-old, a guy that likes playing the game in every facet of the game. Does he have holes? Yeah, he does. So do a lot of other players in the NBA. He can dish out 10 dimes a game. He's a 6'7", 6'8", point guard, or probably even taller than that. He'll grab you 10, 12 rebounds a game. If you can restart your franchise with a player like Ben Simmons, the one thing I was kind of fearing with this James Harden trade is I didn't want him going to Brooklyn. I thought it'd be a fun storyline. It'd be an exciting storyline. But, you know, from a Laker perspective, you're not trying to see three All-Stars, two MVPs on the same squad. I don't need to see it. I'm cool with spreading that wealth and the Lakers having, you know, still being the heavy favorites. I thought I saw something. Spectrum Sportsnet's doing a show right now. I thought they put the Vegas odds. And the odds are a lot closer now than they were between the Lakers and the Nets. And I think Clippers are in third place when it comes to that. So we'll see how things pan out. But I cannot stand when owners will take things personal. And instead of what's doing in the best interest of their franchise, they make a move to make sure that he doesn't have to deal with Daryl Morey. I'm telling you, if I was the Houston Rockets, if I could restart my franchise with Ben Simmons, I would be okay with sending James Harden out the door because you're not trying to win a championship right now. You can slowly rebuild, but you would have a cornerstone piece. John Wall, I don't think is a cornerstone piece, and he's making $45 million a year, whatever he's doing. You wouldn't have that issue with Ben Simmons. All right, more NBA stories here. Latest on the NBA games. So COVID-19 is most definitely having its effect on the league right now. 10 total games have been postponed. So I was typing this up yesterday for the pregame show. I'm like, all right, six games have been postponed, or seven, six in the last week. And then a half hour later, there's a tweet out there, two more games postponed. Then I'm setting up for today's show, another game postponed. So 10 games have been postponed since the season started. 9 games have been postponed since Sunday. So just since Sunday, there's been 9 games postponed. I'm not sure how bad it has to get in the league. Like, I don't understand, and we've heard Adam Silver say this before, but the NBA is, they're trying to figure this one out. Let's put it that way. And there's only so much they can do. And this was going to be part of the gamble of starting on December 22nd. And not waiting till January 18th, which is Martin Luther King Day, which you know, a lot of the players were more proponents of. But money talks, and money said, no, start December 22nd, get those 5 Christmas games in, and then just keep moving from there. I don't know what would stop the NBA. I don't know what that, you know, that gauge is. I don't know if it would take 30% of the league where you're like, we got to postpone games. We got to stop for 7 to 10 days. Everybody's got to – we got to – stop everything for right now, try to get all these players back in. But there's a lot of squads playing with 8 players. Like I mentioned, you had 9 games in the last week that have been postponed. I wonder if these games will be made up, and if they will be made up, how many of them will. You know, that bubble idea, Michael was saying maybe you might have to go back to a bubble. I don't know if the players would do it. I really don't. Now, I'm also not a fan of George Hill's comments. This was before the Lakers played the Thunder. I think they played against the San Antonio Spurs the night before. George Hill said, I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want to do. Because the NBA, what the NBA is doing right now is they have a lot more strict COVID-19 protocols. So listen to George Hill. He says, I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24/7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing. But it's life. No one's going to be able to just cancel their whole life for this game. So I look at it two ways. Number one, NBA is getting as strict as possible. No more hotel guests. Team meetings, I think, have to be 10 minutes. Once you come out of the game, you got to throw your mask on. NBA is going to do everything they can, short of an NBA bubble, to try to keep the season going. This is what they need to do. That's how it should be done. And by the way, it may or may not work. Adam Silver had said that health experts are saying by the time they get into February, things are supposed to get better. Part of that probably has to do with the vaccine distribution, and there's probably other factors as well. Holidays, you probably had a spike of more COVID-19 positive tests. But with all that in mind, I'm not one to really sympathize with players on this one. I'm really not. Everybody is sacrificing because of COVID-19. Everybody. And NBA players that are being asked to, you know, they're not in a bubble anymore. So now you could go home, you could see your family. It's just a tough one to swallow because you got so many people's lives who've been affected and restaurants that are shutting down. And just think about all the different people that are affected because of COVID-19 around the world. So it's tough to sympathize with certain players, George Hill being one of those guys saying, well, why are we doing this? You can't tell me what to do. This is a very unique situation. We don't know when it's going to end, but it's been going on for almost a year. You get paid an incredible amount of money to play the game of basketball. If you don't want to follow those protocols, just don't play. Tell the NBA, tell your team, hey, I'm not cool with this, and then you stop getting that check. I don't know if they'll, you know, go that far to that extent, but if a player wants to, they have that option. All right, those are our top NBA stories. When we come back, I want to spend a little time talking about what the Lakers got, just what these last three games have meant for the Lakers. Yes, they're layups. Yes, the Lakers are supposed to be dominating. But I want to talk about these last three games specifically because I think something's happened where I feel like something's clicking with this Lakers team. And then you got the schedule coming up where we're going to have some good tests to see what this Lakers team is really all about, even though they're already 10-3. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Stay right here. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so tomorrow, Lakers taking on the Pelicans. Pre-game's at 5:30. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock. Let's take a quick call here, and then I want to play something from Kendrick Perkins from earlier today. Let's go to Ryan in Burbank. Ryan, thank you for calling in, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, man, just real quick. I mean, I want to talk real quick about just the NBA in general. I mean, we know this, right? Like, that the NBA, it never works out usually the way we always think it's going to work out, save for, like, the Warriors super teams or the Heat super teams, whatever. And even they lost the first year to Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing is, there's always something that happens with the NBA. And, like, I look at the Lakers. They're one injury away from not being there. If Anthony Davis, with his injury history, gets hurt, you can kiss the championship goodbye.
100%.
They got a good team, but AD gets hurt, it's done. It's all about, at the end of the day, like the Nets, they went all in on talent because talent wins in the NBA. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that wins. Everyone's like, oh, look at all these great teams that won with supporting cast and characters. Yeah, but that's not the norm. We know that. Like, the talent rises to the top, and that's what usually wins. So I look at the Nets and like, yeah, if they can meld it together with all these guys, they're going to be great. The question is that I've been thinking about heavily, and I'll get off after this. I don't think Kyrie's going to stay with that team. I think he's going to end up getting traded. I think they're going to end up doing something with him. And I think they're going to get another piece. And I think that piece, whatever they do get for Kyrie, that's going to be the interesting thing of what do they get for him? And is it a big man? Is it somebody that can match up with, like, Giannis and the Lakers? If they do that, they're going to be a tough out, man. They're going to be tough.
Ryan, thank you for calling in, bud. Appreciate it, man. Okay, so before I play Kendrick Perkins, I agree with Ryan, and I'm on this fact as well. Get the talent. I mean, put these guys together and see what you could do from there. Absolutely get the talent. Do you think that Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors? So the Raptors went all in for Kawhi Leonard. They traded DeMar DeRozan. You know, they took their chances. And you know what ended up happening? They essentially lost Kawhi Leonard in the offseason, and they really didn't have anything to show for it. You know, they could sit there and say, okay, well, now we're going to profile Pascal Siakam, who I like. A lot of people like him. OG Anunoby. The reality is they took their chance on Kawhi, and eventually he walked away and he came to the Los Angeles Clippers. And people are going to say, well, they succeeded. They won an NBA championship. They put themselves in a position where anything can happen. And I only say that because if you think the Toronto Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors because they were better than the Golden State Warriors, we have nothing to talk about when it comes to basketball. They beat them because Kevin Durant went down, because Klay Thompson went down. That's the only reason why they beat them. But this is part of the sport. And I'm not making an excuse or saying that Toronto doesn't deserve to. No. This is part of the sport. Anything can happen. If the Brooklyn Nets go out there and they grab James Harden to team up with Kevin Durant, and, you know, Ryan was saying that he doesn't think Kyrie Irving is going to stay there. I actually disagree. I think Kyrie Irving will stay there. And I think Kyrie Irving will, eventually come back to the form where he's like, all right, let's go to work. This is a ridiculous squad. I got a chance to win a championship. I do think that that's what's going to eventually kind of play out here. But let's give this time and see what eventually happens, because we have no idea in 30 games or 50 games from now, whatever the case is. You put the talent together, then you roll the dice and you take your chances. Lakers are, they look unstoppable right now. Lakers look fantastic right now. 10-3, best record in the NBA, 7-0 on the road. I mean, to be honest with you, part of it is inflated. The schedule has been so incredibly easy to start off the year. But that's all you can do is just put that squad together, try to grow your chemistry, and then things just happen that you don't have control over. Michael always talks about, you know, championships that the Showtime era lost because of injury. That's part of things happen, and all you can do is put yourself in the best position possible. Let's play, Steve. Let's play this Kendrick Perkins clip real quick. He's talking earlier about LeBron and the potential matchup of facing the Nets in the finals.
LeBron James, in my eyes, and I believe in Jay Will eyes, and I believe in Keyshawn eyes, is already the GOAT. But to a lot of old heads like Mike Greene, Stephen A., Max, Jalen Rose, he still have a lot to prove. And if he beat this super team, along with what he did beating the Golden State Warriors, the 73-9 Golden State Warriors, I don't want to hear no more GOAT conversation, all right? Because it's over. Might as well crown King James, all right? That's what I'm saying, Zoo. That's what my tweet meant.
I'm gonna disagree with Kendrick Perkins here. I don't think the Lakers beating the Nets, who I think will be favored to beat the Nets and actually have the best big man, the best two-way big man in the NBA. Forget best two-way big man, the best two-way player in the league in Anthony Davis, and are coming off an NBA championship. I disagree with if LeBron wins it this year, now he's the GOAT. I don't agree with that at all. What I would say is, if LeBron continues to add to his already built-up resume, and you can add to that resume winning two NBA championships with an organization that was virtually at the absolute bottom in its franchise's history, it's those type of storylines I think you could tell, where he's winning three NBA championships with three finals MVPs and three different teams. Those are the types of conversations I think add to this, and this would obviously be another addition, but let's not make it sound like just because Brooklyn got James Harden, and I'm not here to underestimate it, because I've been trying all show not to underestimate it. Lakers got something special too, and I will take LeBron James. I said this a couple post-game shows ago. Give me any player in the NBA for just this year. I won't take any of them over LeBron James. I don't care that he's 36. He's still the best player in the world. Bobby Marks coming up next. Front office insider for ESPN. Was actually a part of the Brooklyn Nets a part of that front office back in the day. So he's going to have some great insight on this. We'll continue the conversation about the Lakers as well. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Alan Sliwa, Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Always great to have Bobby Marks on, front office insider for ESPN. Bobby, thanks for joining the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's kind of an interesting, let's just say, I thought Twitter was going to shut down yesterday. A lot of things going on right around one specific moment. But before I get your initial thoughts on the trade, I'm going to try to be as objective as possible here. James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. What are your initial thoughts, number one? And number two, what are some of your criticisms in the Nets making that deal for Harden?
Yeah, I mean, I think the initial thought is that it's a lot. I think it's certainly more than probably what the Lakers gave up when they did the Anthony Davis trade. A couple years ago to get him. I think the circumstances are a little bit different here. With you've got Kevin Durant, the potential to be a free agent in 2022. We still don't know where it's going to happen here with Kyrie Irving. And I don't want to say the Nets were desperate, but they were in a position where they basically had to go all in. I think the interesting thing would have been what happens if Kyrie was still there and this team was, let's say, 11-2 right now. If they played like they did on Christmas Day consistently, would Sean Marks have made that same deal? I don't know. I mean, that's a hard question to answer here. But having been part of a Nets front office in 2013 that did somewhat of a similar deal with the draft picks and the pick swaps. You don't feel the pain until, 3 or 4 years down the road. But the Nets are willing to sacrifice that to try to win a championship now, with the risk on the back end here. So I understand it. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch and see how, Durant and Harden and when Kyrie comes back fit. What else can they do to, shore up their bench. I think they still lack a little bit of toughness, certainly on the defensive end. They're in the bottom in second chance points in the paint. You're relying on DeAndre Jordan right now, but the roster probably as is with LeVert and Jared Allen was a good roster, but probably not good enough to, potentially probably get by a Miami or Philadelphia or even a Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's interesting because, Bobby, I understand the move, right? I mean, I've kind of said this, and I do the pregame show with Michael Thompson, and him and I are always talking about even when the Rockets were considering trading James Harden, if everybody's chasing the Lakers and, you have a window where KD, like you mentioned, it really even Kyrie and James Harden, these next couple of years, what has to happen? How can this work? How can James Harden, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, how can they coexist? How can this be a unit in Brooklyn where they could potentially come out and face the Lakers in the NBA Finals and then it's anybody's game from there?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be who's going to want to be the Chris Bosh at this group, right? I mean, when LeBron and Dwayne and Chris joined forces in 2010, Chris went from being that franchise player in Toronto to really taking a third role there and sacrificed. That's what it's going to take as far as, Kyrie going from, potentially a solid number two to, let's face it, he's the third guy there in Brooklyn. Is he willing to sacrifice? It's different when you are chasing a championship and you have never been there and sort of like what AD went through last year. But when you've already won it already, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, these guys' priorities kind of get a little bit of a little skewed here. So I think the big thing, as I said, is, you know, it's going to be it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice as far as on the court, as far as who's going to be the guy that takes the last shot. You know, how do you handle when you're not getting your shots here? But, you know, they've got, you know, 3 or 4 months to figure it out to you know, when the playoffs start in mid-May.
Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN, nice enough to join Lakers Talk. We're getting his thoughts on that big deal that went down, how it affects the Lakers, you can say, as well, between the Brooklyn Nets and the Houston Rockets. Just out of curiosity, you did mention that you thought the haul that they gave up was probably more than the Lakers had to give up for Anthony Davis. How does Houston come out of this whole thing?
Yeah, it's interesting. I, you know, certainly draft picks, you get, you know, 3 unprotecteds from Brooklyn, pick swaps, and then you get a Milwaukee pick that's probably going to be in the late 20s in 2022. So you basically have maximized as many draft picks that you are going to get. I think from a critique standpoint, I like Caris LeVert and I like Jared Allen. Mm-hmm. I understand where Houston is with Christian Wood, that there's not a need for Jared Allen. They decided that they are going to take Victor Oladipo instead of LeVert. I think it's going to be interesting what they do with the Oladipo contract now. He's going to be a free agent. Are you content on paying him probably double of what you could have had with LeVert? But on the other end, they were in a position, you know, the Harden, you know, certainly how it started in training camp, how it ended with him basically calling out the whole roster there. They were in an extremely difficult position. I don't want to say they didn't have leverage, but they were losing leverage day by the day. So they got as much as they can in that regards. I mean, you could make the argument, is Ben Simmons, you know, from the Sixers, does he trump everything that they got back? And from a basketball standpoint, none of those players are Ben Simmons. You know, there's not a top 15 player that the Rockets are getting back. So we'll wait and see what happens with those picks. You know, that's going to be the interesting, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, if Durant and Harden and Kyrie are still in that Nets roster, or if they're not, and, you know, they eventually turn into something very good.
By the way, Bobby, just out of curiosity, Lakers-Nets, I think they got a matchup coming up in February. I want to say it's February 18th. How do you like just kind of looking at those two teams now and those two rosters? And I know there's a lot of question marks with the Nets, including Kyrie Irving when he comes back. But just comparing those two teams, what do you think, if that was a matchup down the road, what do you think between those two teams?
It's fascinating. I don't know if there's a player on the roster that that can cover AD. You know, that's my concern. I mean, I guess you can say maybe you put Durant on him, though. I think that's what would give Brooklyn, you know, certainly a problem, especially if you put AD at the 5. You know, that's been an Achilles for the Nets, really. You know, certainly, as I said, from a rebounding standpoint, I think the bench for the Lakers is probably a little bit better with you know, with Montrez, you know, if Wes is coming off the bench, chilling with Kyle. But it's, you know, so I think it's going to him if, you know, Lakers can get stops, I think they'll be fine. You know, I think that's kind of going to be the thing as far as for Brooklyn. Can they get stops when this game slows down and you're in the fourth quarter here? They'll be able to outscore 90% of the league, but against some of these really good teams, can you get the stops at the end of the game?
Bobby, we've had, I want to say in the last week, there's been 10 games total postponed in the NBA, 9 in the last week. How much of a concern, just with your relationships around the league, how much of a concern is this next 30 to 60 days for the league? How much do they feel? And I know there's no way to gauge any of this, but could it potentially happen where the league does have to stop for a week or 10 days or something along those lines? What has been some of the chatter around what we've seen over the last week?
Well, I think the concern would be is that we've implemented these new protocols. It's as stringent as they get without going into a bubble. And if this doesn't work, then you're probably at a point, do we kind of reevaluate and maybe do pause things for a little bit. We all knew that the month of January was certainly going to be tough with, you know, certainly with the weather and the rising in COVID. I mean, you're in LA and you're seeing it, you know, certainly firsthand here. On the other end, there's, you know, four or five games that are going on right now. Not everyone has been affected. There's hot spots, certainly in, there was hot spots in Philly. There's hot spots in Dallas, Phoenix now. That's the hard part, is that one player gets it, the contact tracing basically knocks you out because it affects, you know, six or seven players. And, you know, just talking to teams, the concern is when you are left with eight or nine players and you have to play, you know, you got three games in 5 nights or you're playing every other game and you're playing guys, you know, 40 minutes, 35 minutes, that, you know, it's taxing on their bodies here, especially coming off a shortened offseason, a shortened preseason here. You saw it with the Sixers. You're seeing it with Miami right now. You know, they've got about six or seven guys out. That's the big concern as far as from the contact tracing when it knocks half your roster off. And then it's not the games that are getting postponed. It's when you're left with that bare minimum of eight players.
Bobby, what is the backup plan? I mean, what happens if, like you just mentioned, you have too many teams that are with seven players, six players, or even in some cases like you're talking about right now where there's a few teams that have to go with eight players, and certainly that doesn't give them the amount of depth they're looking for. We heard Doc Rivers say this about a week ago or so. He wasn't crazy about trying to play with eight players. Is there a plan B here, or is it, no, we got to try to ride this thing out as best as we can, be as safe as we possibly can, and take our chances from there?
Well, you know, the plan B, I would think, is when this G League bubble starts in Orlando, and you know, you've got 18, 19 players down there, and you've got a pool of, you know, potentially, I guess, you know, 200, 300 players, that we do get to a point where maybe we do look at expanding the rosters to, we're at 17 right now, including the both two-way players. You know, maybe we do add an extra two or three spots, and then you can pull from those players in the G League. You won't have to worry about quarantining because they're going through the health and safety testing protocol there, and we go from there. I think the argument that some teams have and the league have is that, you know, maybe it's too many, and you know, if there is a COVID outbreak, you know, then it affects, you know, not just 17 players but potentially 20 players here. But the more teams you talk to, they're more in favor of expanding the roster. I mean, there's teams like, you know, Orlando and Atlanta, Cleveland, that cannot afford a COVID outbreak because they've had so many injuries. And if they get one, they are going to get wiped out here. So I think that's the next option. If we do get to that point, I don't think the league is there yet. They're going to see where these tightened protocols are, and you know, after 2 or 3 weeks.
Bobby, great stuff, man. Thank you for it's always good to get your thoughts, especially on that Harden to the Nets trade. I was curious to get your, you know, perspective on it, but also, of course, all the other NBA stuff that we've gone through. So thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Bobby Marks right there. Let's do this when we come back. Show's starting to wrap up here. Let's preview the Lakers and the Pelicans tomorrow. By the way, which young Lakers did you enjoy watching the most? I definitely have mine. I mean, think about all these different Laker players. We're going to see a few of them tomorrow between D'Angelo and Jordan Clarkson and Ingram and Randall. That list kind of goes on. We'll talk a little bit about Zion Williamson. Look at the next five games for the Lakers. Look at the NBA standings. So we'll start previewing Lakers and the Pelicans tomorrow. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN. How did we already get 2 hours in? Are you kidding me? Steve, I was just getting started. I wasn't ready to end the show. By the way, just a quick reminder, when we're done here, we'll do our social show on at ESPN Los Angeles for Twitter, Twitch, Periscope, Facebook, YouTube, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa for YouTube. So we'll do about another half hour on there. So if you want to continue this Lakers conversation, we certainly have that opportunity coming up probably about 5-10 minutes after the show ends. Get all set up and go from there. So real quick here. So before I get into the Lakers and the Pelicans, last three games for the Lakers. Okay, they're layups, right? You're playing the Houston Rockets team. I think it's pretty clear to see that James Harden wasn't exactly motivated to come to work. I think that's a safe one to say. I don't think I'm going out of the limb by making that proclamation. And then you had the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are in a complete rebuilding mode. I heard John say this yesterday. They got 18. I thought they had 16 first-round picks. They have 18 first-round picks between now and 2027 and 13 second-round picks. So it just shows you they're in a complete rebuild mode. So should we be, you know, surprised or shocked, or should I be coming out pumping my chest and saying, look at the Lakers. Look at them handling the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. No, I know I'm not supposed to be, and it wouldn't make sense for me to do it. But the thing I would pay attention to in these last three games, Lakers demolished these teams. I mean, just ripped out their heart in the first half of each one of these games, where it allowed LeBron James and Anthony Davis to practically sit in the fourth quarter. You know how many times last season I talked about this? I would say, well, if the Lakers can blow out this team, then maybe LeBron and AD can get some rest in the fourth quarter. I felt like it never happened. But they did have an opportunity. I think they played under 30 minutes in these last two games. This is kind of a different way of load management. You're still playing the games, but you take control yourself by handling business so you don't have to go back in the fourth quarter. So the Lakers just, you know, obviously dismantled their opponents. They're 10-3 on the season. They got three losses so far. The three losses, the San Antonio Spurs, the Phoenix Suns, and the Los Angeles Clippers, all three here at Staples Center. That's kind of that one's a little interesting. Lakers are 7-0 on the road, but the three games that they've lost are all here at Staples Center. I want to play something from LeBron James. So LeBron yesterday was talking about that the team is still learning. They're still kind of trying to figure things out. Here's LBJ on the Lakers continuing to grow.
Well, we want to continue to grow, and I believe we got better, you know, on this road trip. Our camaraderie and our togetherness continue to grow, both on and off the floor. We want to continue to build off of that. You know, it's not much, you know, practice time, but we use the plane and the bus rides and the meetings that we have on the road and things of that nature, and we just continue to build. And we continue to hold each other accountable. And it's fun when you play for one another, you know, and we have a selfless team. So, you know, I think all of us are having a good time right now, but you have a good time when you win it. And that's what's the most important.
All right, that's LeBron James right there. So it's not a shock or a surprise, but the Lakers, and this is going to be one of the areas that I think is the difference between some of these other squads that Lakers are going to go up against. There's some good chemistry. There's some good chemistry on this team, and it starts reminding me of last year a little bit. Last season, it wasn't a perfect roster, but it was pretty damn close. And one of the things that also stood out from the Lakers was the guys liked playing with each other. As much as you guys know how much I love talking Lakers basketball, and when I do these post-game shows, a lot of it, you know, is very structured. So I'm setting up. I give a little bit of my opinion, and then I set up some phone calls, and let's go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. I don't feel like I really got to talk about LeBron's three-pointer and the fadeaway, which, by the way, I watched it 34 more times today. This is what I mean when I say chemistry, and it's this perfect balance of you come to work, but you can still have fun at work, right? You can accomplish your business. You can get the things that you got to get done, but it doesn't have to be miserable in the process. So LeBron takes that corner three against the Houston Rockets. We all know the story. Dennis Schroeder says, I bet you won't make this. And while the ball's in the air, probably 50, 60% of the way to the basket, LeBron turns around, stares Dennis Schroeder in the eyes and says, I'll take your bet. Then the ball goes in. And you just see kind of the joy in a lot of these players' faces. Marc Gasol laughing on the sideline. Wesley Matthews like, what the heck is going on here? Dennis Schroeder trying to follow LeBron James even though he's not in the game. And go down the list, KCP and everything else. You can't fabricate that. You can't make that up. You either have chemistry, you're either building towards chemistry, or you just don't got it. And I do feel like that's obviously an important piece for the Lakers, and certainly that's what we've noticed so far. And Lakers had it last year, by the way. Lakers definitely had chemistry last season. Rondo and Danny Green and JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley as well. Those are the five guys that are not on this roster anymore. All of them complemented that chemistry. So this is a team that's got a long way to go, but you got to feel good with the start. 10-3 is the best record in the NBA. Am I already looking at the NBA standings? I am. Damn right I am. Lakers-Pelicans tomorrow. Pelicans are 4-6 on the season. So just give everybody a quick idea. So New Orleans is they're an okay team. Zion Williamson, he's cleared, did not have a COVID-19, did not test after his inconclusive COVID-19 test, so he's good to go. They got a couple good wins, decent wins, I guess. Beat the Raptors, they beat the Thunder, they beat the Spurs, they beat the Raptors again. All right, maybe they don't have that many good wins. But it's going to be cool to see Brandon Ingram again, see Lonzo Ball. I don't know if Laker fans still pay attention and still follow some of these old young Lakers. I personally don't. I thought I would more, but I don't. So I don't really know what Josh Hart is doing. I know Julius Randle's having a good season so far in New York because I would, you know, check out highlights, or I'd go on ESPN or I'd go on Twitter and somebody was highlighting what Randle's doing. Clarkson's been a nice role player where he is. Larry Nance Jr., I've seen him do some great things off the court in Cleveland. D'Angelo Russell in Minnesota, I couldn't tell you where he is. But B.I. was always my favorite of that young core. And that's a player I probably keep more an eye on than any of these other young players. And I don't know how much, you know, he's talked about around the league, but he's a talented player, very, very talented player. And tomorrow we'll get to see Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Also get Zion Williamson tomorrow. Lakers' next two games are at home, and they're at Staples Center. So they're 3-3 at home. They're 7-0 on the road. Maybe we need to go back on the road. So you got two games. You play tomorrow against the Pelicans. You got the Golden State Warriors coming up on Monday, and then a 7-game road trip for the Lakers. So that just kind of gives you a good idea what the Lakers got coming up. Thank you to James Worthy for being a part of the show. Hall of Famer, big game James, for taking some time. If you missed any part of the show, go check out all 2 hours on the ESPN podcast, on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Come join me now. I'm going to go do ESPN Los Angeles. We'll do another half hour or so of Lakers talk. Thank you for all being a part of the show. LA, have a great rest of your night. Alan Sliwa, Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.